In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
New rule in Major League Baseball. Are you ready for this one? Dogs throw out the first pitches. That's how it has to be. From now on, if you guys have not seen Shohei Ohtani's dog decoy, fetch the first pitch and take it to his dad behind home plate, you need to check it out. It's on my Twix, but it's all over social. You don't need me for this. I'm just telling you, it's an easy place to find it. At A-Law Radio, I didn't have a chance to put anything up on Facebook, but seriously, just Google it. It's amazing. In honor of Bobblehead Night, not just for Shohei Ohtani, because what would the man be without his dog decoy? Not only is he wearing his own little Dodgers jersey, but he stands on the mound, even after the ball has been placed on the rubber, waits until Ohtani walks behind the plate, and then when he gets the sign, he knows there's treats awaiting him. When he gets the sign, he picks up the ball and makes a beeline for home plate. You guys have got to see it. It's awesome. From now on, I don't care what human you are, you can't do a better first pitch than the coolest dogs on the planet. Awesome stuff. And I think Shohei was inspired, although that probably applies to most nights when he's in the Dodgers lineup. As the Dodgers are attempting to hold off both the Padres and Diamondbacks behind them in the NL West, Shohei Ohtani hits home run number 42, and he steals two more bases. Which means right now, he's the 42-42 man. It wasn't that long ago he became the quickest major leaguer ever to get to 40 and 40. 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases in a single season. Well, now he's at 42 home runs, and he continues to steal bases. And so he's closing in on the first ever 50-50 season. I love being a witness to history. I will say that. And we've got some potential history in both the AL and the NL. At the same time, though, it makes the MVP races slightly dull. So, back to dogs throwing out the first pitches. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I hope that you kicked your Wednesday in the rear. I'm going to say Wednesday kicked me in the rear. It was one of those afternoons where I could not sleep. I woke up a little bit after lunchtime, so I'd been asleep for, I don't know, three and a half hours, and just knew it right away. This happens to me. I wake up, oh no. Oh no. It takes all of 60 seconds for me to realize it's going to be a struggle to go back to sleep. Which actually reminds me of something I heard on the news. Here I go, off on a tangent, just like the t-shirt diagrammed. I was listening to the news on Wednesday morning on my way home from the office, and I heard that according to a study that polls a lot of people who work, well, different hours than we do, but polls a lot of Americans, the study indicates that people have already determined before 7 a.m., whatever their local time is, they've determined before 7 a.m., whether or not it's going to be a good or a bad day. In fact, I think the specific number was 6:36 a.m. or something along those lines. Don't quote me on the exact time. But people determine very early whether or not it's going to be a good day or a bad day. And I can understand that. Let's say you spill the milk while you're putting it into your cereal or your oatmeal or your coffee. Somehow, it tastes bad. You put salt instead of sugar into it. Or goodness, as so often happens with me, I spill some in the car. Let's say you can't figure out what you're going to wear if you leave the house to go to an office. Or, oh no, you have a flat tire when you walk out of the house. I'm trying to think of some other ones that work. Oh, the dog won't go out. It's pouring down rain. You got to take the dog out in a monsoon. Something along those lines. And so we as Americans, we decide pretty early whether or not it's going to be a good day or a very bad, no good, should have gone back to bed day. So we're not going to determine that here, even though this is kind of the start of our time together. But I could determine within 90 seconds on Wednesday afternoon that I was not going to be able to get back to sleep. So I sighed. I finally gave in to the temptation to pick up my phone. I looked at the text messages that had come in through the morning. I put the phone down. I tried to lay there for a little bit and in the hopes that I would fall back asleep. Finally, I said, I give up. And I got my book and I read for 30 minutes and that helped. I read some fiction. That helped. My hubs came up to make sure something wasn't wrong because he could hear me moving around. And so I finally did get back to sleep for a bit of an afternoon nap. But yeah, Wednesday kicked me in the rear. So I hope your situation and your sleep was not the same as mine. I hope it was way better. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We have a new podcast link, and this is something we're all learning here at the Infinity Sports Network. We've migrated because everything is migrating online, right? We've migrated, so I'm sharing the new link. That's also on both of our social media sites. We will get back into a routine again soon. And right on the heels of that comes football, baby. Mike Tomlin. He admits that naming a starting quarterback for the Steelers was a difficult choice, although I think he saw what he needed to see. If not in preseason games, then he definitely saw it in practice. So we'll hear from Mike Tomlin and his choice for QB1, Russell Wilson. Hey, Carlos. Carlos, who works with the show before ours, the Bart Winkler Show, he is getting ready to walk out of the control room, and I need the AC on in here. I'm sweating. These lights are so bright. They've got different lights on. Normally, if there were no Carlos, I would just get up and turn down the AC myself. But since you're walking out, you can... Even down to 68 would be great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, there have been times in the past Ryan's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I didn't know there was AC in there.
Oh yeah, my gosh. These lights, though, you know, they've been fooling with the lights in here, and they took out the TV lights, which we had the ability to control and turn on and off. I don't really have the ability to control these, or I haven't figured it out yet, because they've jerry-rigged them to the old switches. And so I am under these hot lights now. And I'm sweating. But you've worked on other shows. Have they figured out how to do the lights / YouTube broadcast / Twitter blah, blah, blah things?
It's a work in progress, yeah. To say the least.
I've heard that even with the new lights, as hot as they are, oh my gosh. Do you see me sweating?
A little bit. There's a shine.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's blinding, Ryan, behind the double pane glass. Yeah, I've heard that some of the broadcasts online are a bit dark. But I think that's fine mood lighting as long as you keep the AC on. Wowzers. Some of the shows come in here and crank up these really bright studio lights, the white ones that are even brighter. I can't even see the computer with those things shining in my face. So we go with more mood lighting. But yeah, right now it's still pretty warm. Anyway, new podcast link. It's up on both of our social media sites. And as I say, we're getting close to Labor Day weekend. I can't believe it, but we are. We'll have Pete starting next week, and then football to follow. Mike Tomlin's making his preparations. And on the heels of Tomlin and the Steelers announcing their QB1, Jerod Mayo, and the Patriots apparently will make their announcement on Thursday. So he has said he knows who will be starting for the New England Patriots. Don't know if it has anything to do with Jacoby Brissett and what was a possibly tweaked shoulder, a shoulder injury from their last preseason game. Also, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jones talking about each other. Because why not? You got a couple of days still before the season begins. And it's apparently coming to a head with Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. He was supposed to practice on Wednesday. He was medically cleared. They had given him some medical excuses, if you will, some physical excuses for not practicing. Remember, he's holding in, not holding out. He was there with the guys, but hasn't practiced, hasn't done anything in camp, really, because of the contract situation and a possible trade, though it seems as though the options have dried up. And so the Niners had listed him with a couple of different injuries so he wouldn't be fined every single day. Ah, I feel the AC now. Whew. Disaster averted. I was about to melt into a big puddle. And so because they had given him some medical reasons why he wouldn't get fined, they expected him to practice on Wednesday, and he was medically cleared by the Niners athletic training staff. Except he didn't practice. And now, if you can read body language, you know there are body language experts out there. If you can read body language, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, not happy. Though I got to be honest, I'm not ever sure I've seen Kyle Shanahan happy. He's not a big fan of, well, he's kind of cranky, but he's not a big fan of questions about personnel and everything else. And so we're going to get to a bunch of football. Also, at the U.S. Open, Coco Gauff looks better in round two, the defending champion on the women's side. She's on to the third round. Novak Djokovic gets a walkover, which is a good thing because the match started pretty late under the lights there. And actually, if you were watching the match, it was a closed roof, Arthur Ashe Stadium, but you could hear the thunder over top of the closed roof, and that same thunder and lightning was dealing with it in my neighborhood as well. We got a little rain, not a bunch. Caitlin Clark sets another record. So does Angel Reese. Who should be the WNBA Rookie of the Year? They got a handful of games left. And actually, Ryan, if you have access to our show, Twix, and you want to put up a poll, that'd be great. Who would get your vote for WNBA Rookie of the Year? So you'll hear from Caitlin Clark. A little bit from Ronaldo, because why not? It's going to keep us busy. But we start inside the NL West, as I mentioned, Shohei Ohtani, bobblehead, but the bobblehead along with his dog Decoy, who fetched the first pitch. And then Shohei and the Dodgers had to go out there and face the Baltimore Orioles.
Here's the pitch. And Shohei lifts a high fly ball right field. On the track is Santander, and this ball's gone. It's a leadoff bomb for Shohei Ohtani on his bobblehead night. And it gives the Dodgers a 1-0 lead, his 42nd of the season. 2-1, 2-out, another 2-2 pitch to Teoscar Hernandez. And Hernandez hits one hard, left field and deep, and way, way out of here! Teoscar Hernandez launches a go-ahead home run halfway up the pavilion in left field.
On Dodgers radio, Dodgers return the favor after losing to the Orioles in the opener of this series on Tuesday. So they maintain their slight lead atop the NL West, and the Cardinals did them a favor. Their old nemesis from playoffs past. The Cardinals did the Dodgers a favor by walking off against the San Diego Padres to cool off the pods just a bit. However, not so with the Mets and the Diamondbacks. Mets had a one-run lead in the eighth inning.
Diaz ready, the pitch. Swung on, high fly ball. Deep right field. Carroll thinks he got it all, and he did get it all! Grand slam for Corbin Carroll! His second home run of the game, and the Diamondbacks have blown it open in the eighth inning. It is now Arizona 8 and the Mets 5.
Was able to make the adjustment from the fastball to the slider. You know, I was fortunate enough where he kind of left it in the middle and a little bit up and was just able to stay on it and drive it out. So, you know, good swing. Was really happy with it.
I can imagine, and we're not really sure what's going on with the Diamondbacks radio network. A lot of static there. Sounds like a microphone was having issues or...
Oh, it was blown up.
Like a speaker blew, something along those lines. That was a mess. But the Diamondbacks were trailing by a run heading into the eighth with two outs against Mets closer Edwin Diaz. They get the bases juiced, and Corbin Carroll smacked his second homer of the game, which was a grand slam and the fireworks. And, yeah, the Diamondbacks have won 21 of their last 27, and they are second place in the NL West within three games of the Dodgers. And Carroll is on quite the power surge himself. 14 home runs in the past 37 games. So, yeah, he's the National League Rookie of the Year, but in his sophomore season, having this great second half that's allowing the Diamondbacks to move up the standings. And, yeah, he's fairly nonplussed about it.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of everything. Getting some confidence back, some mechanical adjustments, and some approach adjustments.
I'm not trying to carry the team. I'm not trying to be the hero. I'm just trying to do something to help the team win every day. Well, it's working for the Diamondbacks. Love the fan support they have there in Phoenix. So we'll talk to Todd Walsh, who's part of their broadcast team. He'll join us in 5 minutes here on the show at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, I went back and I answered a bunch of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. But beyond that, please go and check out Shohei Ohtani's dog decoy. Remember when he wouldn't tell us the name of his dog? Ryan somehow got it into his head that his dog was Radar. Isn't that a cartoon dog?
I think so.
I think it is.
It's very similar. Decoy and Radar.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. Ryan is with us tonight. I think it's our last show, actually, until P takes over. Are you working Sunday night with me?
I'm Sunday night.
Oh, never mind. Yay! One more game. Ha ha. One more show with Ryan for the holiday before Pete begins. But Decoy and Shohei, they managed to hold off the Diamondbacks and stay three games up. So we'll talk NL West straight ahead. Glad to have you with us. Phone number 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Diaz ready, the pitch, swung on, high fly ball, deep right field, Carroll thinks he got it all, and he did get it all! Grand slam for Corbin Carroll! His second home run of the game, and the Diamondbacks have blown it open in the eighth inning. It is now Arizona 8 and the Mets 5.
And boy, his power surge has coincided with the Diamondbacks climbing up the standings in the NL West, but not just that. NL wild card keeping it close along with the Padres and the Dodgers. They're just three in front now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome Todd Walsh from the desert, part of that Diamondbacks broadcast team. Todd, what about that moment and Corbin Carroll with the grand slam?
It feels like it just happened because it literally did, Amy. Wow, thank you. I needed to hear that. I'm actually sitting here in my office at home putting tomorrow's pregame show together, and that's obviously the lead. But it was another remarkable night in what is turning into a remarkable season. My postgame analyst, Josh Kolmenter, said after our show not too long ago, he said, you know what, I just expect it now. And that's been the story of this team for the last couple of months. It's been a different guy every night, and you're just expecting it.
When did this start, Todd?
Well, you know, it started last year. It started at the end of the season, going into the postseason, when they just started to truly believe and then to execute, and obviously slaying the Dragon in the Los Angeles Dodgers and the way they did it, and then winding up winning Game 7 on the road in Philadelphia to get into the World Series. And this was a team that a year ago turned it in terms of not thinking they were going to win, but expecting they were going to win. They were no longer in awe of their opponents. That was kind of a thing that we saw a couple of years ago as the young guys in this team started to establish themselves. And they had a healthy respect for their opponent, but they started to realize they're really good. And, you know, they came out of the gates, I think, a little bit of a World Series hangover. Hadn't experienced that before. And then, the sea of injuries, and they just kept treading water. And there was a team meeting a few months ago where Troy Lavella said, "We believe in you. All the guys that are in this room deserve to be in this room. We believe in you. Just hold down the fort. Reinforcements will come. Just hold down the fort." And you could start to see that. And they got back to their kind of game and their kind of way of playing and thinking and executing. And then they just took off. After June 30th, it's just been like a light switch. And it's been amazing to watch and to feel and to see.
21 of 27, and they're just three back of the Los Angeles Dodgers right now, sitting in second place since the Padres lost on this Wednesday evening. Todd, what exactly is a World Series hangover? It's a good question, right? Because you can say it, or a lot of people use that term, Super Bowl hangover, NBA Finals hangover, whatever the case is. And yet, what was actually happening with the team?
Well, you know, I actually heard a player today in the clubhouse talking to a national writer. I was just 2 feet away, and he actually said it. He goes, "No, it must have been. I know that we kind of came out of the gate slow, and we had a bit of a World Series hangover." And I don't normally throw that around because, frankly, I don't cover a lot of teams that go through that. But I've been around teams that have gone deep into the playoffs in a variety of sports, and I know that that sequence of events in those games and even the days in between playoff games are so taxing and so intense with so much focus. And it really is a true, you know this, it's a different season. It's just totally different. I did hockey for the National Hockey League for 28 years, and when the Coyotes got in the playoffs, and just to experience some of those runs, the mini runs that they had in 2012, and it just takes a toll. And in baseball, it takes even more of a toll, I think, in terms of the pitchers that are throwing more innings, and everything's just so magnified. And you're playing in October, November, and, you know, that's uncharted waters for a lot of guys. And this is a team, there weren't too many grizzled World Series veterans in that group. And I think it's only natural. And, I never lost hope in this team this year. I did fear the unbelievable magnitude of the injury. They're still without Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, and Gabby Moreno. And that may be another week or two or even longer. So, and here they are. And I still say, I've been saying this for a while, I've just had a gut hunch about them for a bit, that I think they're going to put a charge in the National League West. I think the Dodgers don't like the matchup. I've said this a couple of times, that I think the Diamondbacks give the Dodgers PTSD. And I say that because I was at Dodger Stadium this year, and I saw with my own eyes, it wasn't just what Christian Walker did in that series. It was just something else, that the Diamondbacks posed a different kind of threat to the Dodgers. And they took them down a year ago, and they embarrassed them. So this weekend is going to be, I think it's going to be one of the most remarkable weekends of baseball in recent Diamondbacks history. I cannot wait to see four games around the holiday with potentially first place in the NL West on the line. I think it's time that maybe the Bay turns over. Maybe they flip the script in that division.
Todd Walsh is with us from the desert after the Diamondbacks get the rally against the Mets and are within three of the Dodgers. So, yeah, sets us up for a great holiday weekend series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Right now, they are top five in runs, batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage. And the fact that they're still in second place with numbers like that tells you, of course, that the pitching hasn't quite been as good. Mm-hmm. Where might they find reinforcements or a boost with their pitching?
Well, they'll get it from Merrill Kelly getting a few more reps, a few more games under his belt. They'll get it from Zach Gallen. These guys were both out extended periods of time. They've just come back, and they're finding their way back. You know that pitchers don't just reappear as themselves when they've been out for a month or 2 or 3 months. We saw what Zach Gallen did at Fenway Park over the weekend. Merrill Kelly has been, you know, steady as she goes. So these are their, this is, you know, 1A and 1B in their rotation normally, in their most normal settings, and they're still not quite up to speed. They made a gutsy decision and the right decision by sending Jordan Montgomery to the bullpen. They had to. It doesn't matter about his contract and the money they spent. They were pretty candid about that, and you look at why, with Ryan Nelson and Brandon Pfaadt emerging, and Ryan Nelson in particular, that was the move they had to make at that time. So you'll see that, and whether Paul Sewald returns to the closer's role, I think, is a huge question mark right now. Justin Martinez is evolving into that, but he has his highs and lows. He's very young. His stuff is electric. Getting A.J. Puck, who's just filled in wonderfully. You've got Kevin Ginkle's been lights out. The bullpen tonight was the real story of the game. So the reinforcements are there, and it's in the two guys that you put all your faith and your chips in early on in the year. I didn't expect to see the injuries to both Gallen and Merrill Kelly. I want to add another offensive stat to the stat you just rattled off. This is remarkable to me. They have hit 10 grand slams this year. That's most in Major League Baseball.
Whoa.
10. 10.
Never a bad time for a grand slam, but the Corbin Carroll grand slam tonight was perfectly timely. So let's talk about Corbin. He's got 14 home runs in these last 37 games. He's talking about just finding his confidence again. How have you seen his season with its rises and falls?
Man, well, you know, it was hard. I said this on our pregame show tonight. It was hard to watch early on for months, and at bat after at bat after at bat, he could not hit an elevated pitch to save his life, and he kept chasing him. And he is a relentless worker. Torrey Lovello asked the point blank today, look, you know, you talked about one of the great aspects and benchmarks of your team is their adaptability. Zero in on Corbin and his ability to adapt and fix it. And he said that, you know, Corbin is the kind of guy that doesn't want anyone to lap him in terms of hard work, but there's a trust, a reciprocal trust between player and coaches to the player. But I watched him. I mean, he's an obsessive worker. He is a thinker, and it was wearing on him, and he admitted it. But the team rallied around him in ways that you wouldn't see publicly, but we would see behind the scenes. And then when you would talk to other guys about him, they knew that he was working so hard and looking at every ounce of film that he could get his hands on and trying to lay off those pitches and adjust his swing plane and all the stuff that's out of my pay scale. But I watched him do that, and there was certain moments across the summer where you went, oh, okay. And my thing, and I've been saying this like in May, just give me a good month. And then as the summer wore on, I literally drew a line and said, I just want to see one red hot August and let's see where it takes him and the team. And he said tonight on the postgame show that, you know, those guys that are around him in that room, they gave him a comfort zone knowing that he knew they were behind him. And the bottom line is he's just too good to be that bad. You know, rookie of the year in a unanimous vote is not an anomaly. And that wasn't a fluke. He is the real deal. And, you know, he had an injury last year, and he wanted to do more with his at-bats, and he tried to do that at the beginning of the year, and it got away from him. But it's back, and it's unbelievable to see.
Todd Walsh is with us after the Diamondbacks get a late grand slam from Corbin Carroll and get the win over the Mets. And they're still red hot now, 21 of 27. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Todd, what makes the Padres formidable? Because it's not just about the Dodgers. The Padres are right there in the mix, too.
Oh, I know. And every time we look up and show a highlight, they're winning. I know they got walked off tonight, which was nice to see. Nolan Arenado. They just have so much at their disposal, and it just seems like they come at you in waves and layers. They almost remind me of the Dodgers more so now. But look, here's what I know. I'm looking at the weekend, which is four games with the Dodgers, and then the last three games of the year are at Chase Field against the San Diego Padres.
Ooh.
And, you know, there was a series this year. It's actually a series that started the month of July where we went to Dodger Stadium and then to Petco and had an epic meltdown against the Dodgers and bounced back and won two or three. Had another epic meltdown in San Diego and then won two or three, and they won four of six on that trip. And that's when it began. They crossed the state line into California. They were zonies, and they didn't stay knocked out. And that, to me, that's like the 1,000-yard stare when you're around a team that, you know, was one of the last two teams standing in the entire sport at the highest level, and you can't put them away. And you can't put this team away right now. It's so – I watched the Colorado Rockies in 2007 rattle off that run late in the year that propelled them into the World Series. The Diamondbacks mm-hmm. were trying to match them. It sort of reminds me of that, but I wasn't in their trenches then. I'm in this one, and the confidence level is supreme. It's not arrogance; they just know they're good, and that's really fun to watch. It makes getting up and going to work really cool. I'm sitting here about to put a pregame show at midnight. God knows what time it is wherever you are, and we're talking about it. Hopefully you can feel the excitement because it's. You don't get these runs very often as a professional sportscaster. When you do, you got to ride them and enjoy them.
Yeah, absolutely. So before I let you go and get back to your work, I remember the crowds last year on their run to the World Series. They were incredible there at Chase Field. So how fired up are the fans now seeing the potential and the possibilities start to unfold?
I think this weekend's going to be epic. There's 27,000 there tonight, which isn't great, but it was loud, and as I said on the air, there were 27,000 here, and hopefully they told 27,000 other people that this was the place to be in the Valley tonight. I think people have been waiting. The Dodger tickets are always the hottest ticket in town. There's always Dodger fans here. That was the first major league team that had a television and radio imprint here in Phoenix back in the day, and that still exists. I don't know where they come from, but man, they come out of the woodwork, so there will be fireworks here, and somebody said that I respect on a local talk show the other day, something crazy is going to happen. It just always does. And I can't wait to see it unfold. And I just don't think the Diamondbacks are going to fracture. They are forcing other teams to fracture under the weight of the pressure, and they look for the moment. And that's been the most intriguing thing. Like tonight, there it was. If you're going to walk three guys in the eighth inning, you've just set this other team, you set the Diamondbacks up to make you pay.
Mm.
And they did. And that's just been happening every night. It's remarkable to see.
All right, so the one thing that I'm going to need out of this weekend series is a dog fetching the first pitch, because I got to tell you, Shohei Ohtani's dog Decoy, he really stole the show in Los Angeles.
I did see that. I also saw the video that went viral of the dog in the minors that went on his first, bat dog soiree into the infield, and I just love that. I think everybody should have a dog. Every game should have a dog.
Yes.
Just bottom line. I lost my 20-year-old dog this summer. And so
20 years old?
20.
Yes, oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes.
What kind of dog?
I don't know. She just showed up. Her name was Hobo. She showed up one day at my house, and I feel like we won the lottery. She was a Cocker Chow mix and the greatest dog and the best friend, and I missed her every day. But when I saw Shoei's dog tonight, you know how it is, man. When you lose a dog, you start looking at everybody else's dog and you want to tell everybody to hug your dog.
So right.
Hug your dog. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, we're talking, someone's listening,
hug your dog.
I bet you somebody's laying in bed with a dog right now.
Yes.
So
no
rub
doubt.
A belly, right? Just rub right. Find a belly and rub a belly.
Well, I certainly understand. I lost my 14-year-old dog in February and I still miss her every single day. You're right. It leaves a hole. So yes, and everybody else's dogs now, I'm thinking, I remember that. Yes.
Yep,
sorry to hear that, Todd, but 20 years, that's amazing.
No, I was lucky. She was a sweetheart, and I'm just like you. I was the luckiest guy on earth. So
well, it's good. Yeah, of course. It's good to connect with you again. I have a feeling that we may need to be dialing your number, keeping it on speed dial as these Diamondbacks continue their march. You can find Todd on Twix at Todd Walsh, part of that Diamondbacks TV broadcast team, and a lot to talk about these days. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes and letting us interrupt your prep time.
Amy, anytime. Thank you. I don't often have anybody with me at quarter to midnight putting a show together at the NBA game, so this was cool. You got me fired up. I'm ready to rock.
Let's go.
Okay. Anytime.
Thank you, Todd. Good stuff with Todd. We've talked to him about a variety of things, both Diamondbacks as well as Phoenix Coyotes last year. It's so good to connect with him again. 20-year-old dog. That's awesome. Wowzer, special dog, special family. All right, at A-Law Radio, we've got the poll up now. Who should win WNBA Rookie of the Year honors? I'll retweet it. We'll put it up on our Facebook page as well. Love to hear from you. Both Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark continue to set records in their first seasons in pro hoops. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I just saw this quote online. I think that we have it via Shohei's interpreter. We'll get back to some baseball next hour, but he was quoted on Sportsnet LA as saying, I think I was more nervous for the ceremonial first pitch than Decoy. I'm glad that everything went well. Good stuff. Again, if you haven't seen it, it's awesome. It's gone viral. The photos and the video as well of Shohei's dog Decoy fetching the first pitch. It was awesome. And running to his dad at home plate and then getting a treat and licking his dad's face because that's what dogs do. That makes them happy. It makes them happy when they make us happy. Like when we're happy, they're so thrilled. It's just amazing, dogs. Actually, this is part of our after-hour swag, but I have a magnet. This is where it came from. On my fridge that reminds me every day to be the person your dog thinks you are. And the after hours swag that some of you have reached out and asked for, we have 4 left. It features a picture of Penny on the back of the shirt, and it does come with the phrase, be the person your dog thinks you are. I appreciate that some of you have reached out. I plan to figure it out over Labor Day weekend. But some of you have sent me photos and told me that you would love to get the last vestiges of After Hours swag. So we'll see whether or not we have a new era of swag, but there's only 4 shirts left. If anyone out there wears a size small, there's not very many people in my family. I'm not sure there are any people in my family family that wear a size small. We are big-boned Italian and Polish people. So, well, and Filipino. We've got a Filipino part of the family as well. So not many of us wear a small. But if there's somebody out there that wants the T-shirt, oh, you just let me know. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. The poll is up, courtesy of Ryan. And so I shared it. I also put a version on Facebook, so it's there. Who earns your vote as WNBA ROTY, which is Rookie of the Year? I said to Ryan, I hope everyone knows what that is.
They should.
They should, yes. If you're on a site or you're listening to a show about sports, you likely would know what that is, but maybe just judging by the names, you could also figure it out. So the WNBA top rookies are Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, and they continue to rewrite the record books. In their first seasons in the league, they've already grabbed a whole slew of records. For instance, Caitlin set the single game record with 19 assists, not just rookie, but WNBA history. No player's ever had 19 assists. She's the first rookie in league history to have a triple-double. Angel Reese owns the WNBA record now for consecutive double-doubles. That's 15 of them. She's also had back-to-back 20 rebound games. And with the Chicago Sky, at 6'3", she is a rebounding force. So that in it of itself is a lot of fun to watch. Just Wednesday night, she became the first player in league history to have 25 double-digit rebound games in a season. The two of them, they have created a whole new audience for the WNBA. Caitlin set another record herself tonight. Most three-pointers by a rookie in a single season in league history. And actually, she's not shot it that well this season. She's getting a lot of the best defenders from her opponent's teams. So we know that she's done more damage with her assists, with her passing. But yeah, she now owns the rookie three-point record.
Yeah, I think the three-point record is cool, and I think it just speaks to the way we play offense and the way we've been playing offense, especially as of late, like just fast, up-tempo. I feel like I'm definitely capable of shooting it a little bit better. Like, I feel like I've gotten some tough rolls over this course of this year, but even that last one tonight, like I felt like it was in. That one really upset me a little bit, but I still feel like I'm shooting it well. I feel like I'm taking good shots, and that's the most important thing for this team.
19 points, but only 3 of 12 from beyond the arc in this game. And as I say, her numbers haven't been particularly good. If you expected that she would get to the WNBA and tear it up with her shooting, that's not been the case in her first season. In fact, she's tearing it up with her passing abilities and essentially taking what defenses give her. She's shooting roughly 33%. Which isn't terrible, but she's capable of far more. Meanwhile, the Fever continue to climb up the standings in the WNBA, which is what they care the most about. And this latest game, they beat the Connecticut Sun. Christy Side says there's one big reason why they are winning.
I think the word joy that you just used is something that we couldn't find a lot of early. And I have preached that from the beginning, that you've got to have fun playing this game, and you've got to have that joy is so important. And when we came out of the Olympic break and won those two games, it was a different feel out there. And that's what we talked about, that we, you know, there's this joy, there's this excitement, and it's created this new, just this different feeling around our team.
They've won 4 of 5 since coming back from the break for the Olympics. And meanwhile, beat Connecticut for the first time since 2021. So it's been 3 years. I think they'd lost 11 in a row to the Connecticut Sun, who are one of the best teams in the league. So now the Fever are sitting just below 500. Funny story, I was on the phone with my mom, just randomly called her on Wednesday evening to ask for her help with something. And she told me, well, we're watching the game. Okay, do you mind just talking for a second? All right. But as we're talking, Caitlin makes a 3 and she goes, yes, She just hit a three. It was a long one. She's doing play-by-play on the phone. My mom still has fever. That's how it goes. Did you see who else was in the house? I'll tell you next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.